I invite you to stand now as you're able for the hearing of this morning's gospel, which is the story of the Magi from the gospel according to Matthew. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and the scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. And they told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent the Magi to Bethlehem, saying, "After you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out. And there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. This is the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. I invite you to join your hearts with mine for a moment of prayer. Oh, holy God, we do thank you for this holy day that you have called us together. You've called us together to hear your word and for your word to be proclaimed. And I ask now, O Lord, that you would be present in the thoughts of our minds, the meditation of our hearts, but especially, O Lord, that you would be present in the words of my mouth, that they would continue to bring glory to your name and be acceptable in your sight. For you, O Lord, are our rock and our redeemer, our savior and our friend. Amen. It isn't that often that Epiphany, January 6, falls on a Sunday. And as you can see, it doesn't quite have the same attendance as we might have on Christmas Eve. Somehow, Epiphany has lost some of its significance and some of its luster. But in the early church, Epiphany was one of the most holy days as they remembered the coming of the Magi. Epiphany, in some circles, is called King's Day, and it's the end of our 12 days of Christmas. But Epiphany is also that sense of something has been revealed, something has been made known, something so remarkable that everything changes. We know Epiphany is the day that we remember the wise men who traveled through wilderness and desert following a star so that they might find the new king of Israel. We know that they had that vision, that they saw the star and they realized that something was about to happen that was beyond what they could imagine. They had that epiphany and they followed that star. They had a vision and they claimed it. They captured it. And then they had a mission to find that newborn king, that king born to be king of the Jews. We know, too, that epiphany, that word, has entered into secular usage. We say that someone has had an epiphany when some remarkable event or some great thought has entered their being, and it changes everything for them. It changes the way that they look at events in their past, and it also shapes how they look to their future. We might even say that that person has seen the light. Epiphany is our season of light, when things are revealed to us, and we begin to understand the true meaning of what God was doing in Bethlehem with the nativity of Jesus Christ. As I said, often the epiphany gets lost in the sense of Christmas. The wise men appear at the manger along with the shepherds. Most of our creche scenes has the wise men and the shepherds next to each other as if they visited on the same morning. But in truth, Matthew tells this story and is the only gospel that tells this story because it has some real significance for the people of God. The Magi were not Jewish. They were the first non-Jewish witnesses to what God was doing when God became flesh, when God was born in Bethlehem. They're the first ones to believe that that star was a gift from God. I'm sure that other people saw that brilliant star in the sky and thought nothing of it. Or they just looked at it and said, wow, what a great sky it is tonight. But the Magi had the eyes to see that God was doing something new, something different. And they captured that vision. They captured that vision, and then they worked at making that dream, that vision, a reality. They had a mission. They had to go to work. They couldn't just dream about that king that the star might represent. They had to put that vision into action. They had to have a mission. They had to have a plan. And so after they see that star, I'm sure that they wondered for a while what that meant. They may have consulted one another about, what do you think this star really means? And as they came to the conclusion of what that God-given gift, what that sign was, they made a plan. They gathered provisions. They put together a caravan. They gathered and purchased those precious gifts. And then they set out. They set out on the mission to capture the vision of finding the newborn king. I don't know about you, but the Matthew's gospel often offers a lot more questions for me than it has answers. They set out on this trip, and I don't know how long it took. We don't even know for sure that there were three kings. It could have been one, it could have been 12, could have been 100 people that were in that caravan. We don't know how long they stayed. We don't know why they didn't stay. If they had found this newborn king and worshiped him and offered those gifts, why didn't they stay? Well, Matthew tells us because they had to go home and they had a dream and they weren't to go back to Herod. But I have a lot of questions about these Magi. Once they had followed that star, once they had met Herod and then changed directions to go to Bethlehem, once they had realized that they were changed by meeting the Christ child, what did they talk about on that journey back? What was in their hearts? What was their new vision? What was their new mission? What did they do when they got back? How did they share that witness? How did they share that good news? How were they received? Matthew doesn't tell us any of that. He leaves it to our imagination. I would guess that they caught a new glimpse of a vision, and that vision was to tell the world about what they had experienced. And that mission probably took the shape of standing on the corner or talking to their relatives and friends, proclaiming what God had done and what God would do. Really, the story of the Epiphany is not just following the star, not just recognizing the star was that God-given gift, but the story of the Epiphany is the fact that God became man. God became a Christ child, the Christ child. And when people met the Christ child, lives were changed. In Matthew's gospel, this epiphany is really that now it shows that God has come not just for those of the Jewish faith, but God truly has come for all. That God's grace and God's love that was born in that manger was for each and every individual, for Gentiles and for Jews. That was the epiphany. That was the life-changing, world-changing event. That God, whose chosen people were the people of Israel, now dared to offer that love and grace to all the world. The light of the world had truly come, and it was a light for everyone. That's the Epiphany story. The Epiphany season is a season of light. It's a season when we hope to see Christ in a new light. And perhaps we even hope to shine that light of Christ in our own lives so others might catch a glimpse of Jesus Christ. During the month of January, Pastor Caleb and I are going to be discussing vision and mission. And so this first Sunday is to talk about vision. To talk about vision. The Magi had that vision of the star, the vision that would lead them to search for a newborn king. And they had a mission. The mission was everything they did to fulfill that vision, to get there. to find the king. We don't know all the steps of their mission. We do know that they did find the king. And then my hope is that they had a new vision and then claimed a new mission to tell the world. We have a vision here at the United Methodist Church of Muncie. It's a vision that's been discerned for us by the denomination and affirmed by congregations throughout the world. And our vision is to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That starts with us, to make disciples here, to find ourselves as disciples, and thus to change the world. That vision statement would just be empty words or an unrealized or unrealistic dream if there wasn't a mission attached to it, a plan, a way to fulfill that vision. And so here at First UMC Muncie, we have our own sense of what that mission is. How do we fulfill that vision? And our mission statement is to celebrate new life in Jesus Christ, to grow deeper, and to reach wider. Next week, Pastor Caleb will talk about celebrating new life in Jesus Christ. And then the following week, I'll discuss or focus on growing deeper in our faith. And then the last Sunday in January, Pastor Caleb will talk about reaching wider in our witness and in our ministry. He's put together a slide that kind of shows the progression of where we're going with that we each have a part in that mission statement to fulfill that vision. And our focus for 2019 is to discover what our next faithful step might be. We're on a journey, just like the Magi were on a journey. And we can't just sit in one place. We just can't stand still. We need to be moving forward. We will never fulfill our vision unless we take a step in that direction. So the question for all of us this year is, what is your next faithful step? What is it that you'll do as an individual? What is it that we'll do as a community of faith to move closer to that vision? What part of the mission might you need to focus on? Where are your gifts being best used to be a part of the mission of to fulfill that vision, to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world? When we think about biblical epiphanies, we think about Saul being changed to Paul. He had that dramatic change of life on that road to Damascus where Jesus got his attention and he truly saw the light. And he went from being the one who would persecute those who followed Jesus to be the greatest evangelist of the first century. His vision was to let everyone know that Jesus came for not just the Jews, but for the Gentiles. And his mission was to witness that far and wide, to bring together communities of faith so that they would continue to witness. That's part of our Epiphany story, too, witnessing to the light of Christ. We are all called to be light bearers. We are all called, as Isaiah said, to arise and shine and see the light, to let the light shine, to lift up your eyes and to look around. We are called not only to be the ones who receive that light, receive that gift, but we are the ones who are called to share that light. Jesus himself said to the disciples, "You are the light of the world. Let your light so shine so that others see your good works and bring glory to your Father in heaven." We are called to be the light bearers. We are called to be the ones who bring that light into the dark. This season, as we think about who we are as the church, the congregation of First UMC Muncie, as we think about who we are as disciples of Christ, how will your light shine? How will others see your good works? How will you claim that vision? How will you be challenged by our mission to be faithful disciples? How will you arise and let your light shine? Amen.